Hi, this is Pastor Jack of Real Radio, and the times that we're living in right now are truly amazing times, and this upcoming election will be perhaps one of the most important in our lifetime. And so because of that, I want to give you the information and the tools that you'll need to vote your biblical worldview. That's right, Christian. We should be voting our biblical worldview, not our party, not our persuasions are not in any other form but our biblical worldview as a believer. And so I want to share with you a fantastic interview that took place with Dr. Wayne Grudem, a world-renowned theologian and best-selling author of Politics According to the Bible, a great book, and also Dinesh D'Souza, creator of the blockbuster documentary 2016, Obama's America. We've had the chance to interview both these men of God, and I think you'll find it most enlightening. You can go to realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and click on Watch the Interview. That's realradioactive.org, and click on Watch the Interview. God bless you.
Today on Real Radio.
The Bible says, if our gospel bounces off the ears of people, it's because it's been veiled. They're perishing because they can't see, they won't see. Who the minds of the God of this age has blinded, Satan has blinded them, these who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're in a mini-series of sorts called One Church Under God, and it's taken from the very first chapter of 1 Corinthians. Today we're focusing on the second half of the chapter, where Paul explains how man's so-called wisdom is actually foolishness if it does not include the cross. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, continuing his mini-series called One Church Under God.
Lisa was cleaning her drawer or something this last week, and she found a cross. And what was important to us, it was a cross. I bought that for my wife for her graduation gift from high school. And she came walking down the hallway. She goes, look what I found. And we hadn't seen that in years. And I looked at that. Where did you find that? And we look at it. I go, you got to send this to the jewelry store and get it all buffed up and polished. It's beautiful. It's jewelry. Not in the first century. It was condemnation. So the announcement is, the good news, the gospel message is the cross, because Christ died on the cross. And how can that be good news? Well, look at verses 19 to 20. Our message is salvation. A united church will have the same message, and the message is the cross, and the message is salvation. Note this. Paul uses the Old Testament Hebrew scripture to make his point. Verse 19, for it is written, he's quoting Isaiah 29:14. It is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. Oh, I can't wait to get into this part. And bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise, and where is the scribe, and where is the disputer of this age? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? The wise, mark it down, Bible students today, the word wise means expert, the expert in his area. Paul says, where is he? The word scribe is the interpreter. Where is he? Paul's asking. By the way, if you think verses 19 and 20 have a hint of sarcasm, you've missed it. He doesn't hint sarcasm. He's laying it on pretty thick. Paul is mighty in his apology or apologetics. Where's the expert? Where's the interpreter? I love this next one. Where's the disputer? You know what the word disputer is in Greek? Where is the philosopher? Man, you see Paul, he's got his robe sleeves rolled up. Little Paul, mighty heart. Where is the expert today? What have we learned from experts? Ladies and gentlemen, we're in the 21st century. How's it going? I'm an expert. Are you serious? Do you truly expect us to believe that you're an expert in something? We are a culture, we are a world today that knows a thin-skinned little bit about everything and hardly anything do we know much about a particular topic. We are a Wikipedia world. We are a 15-second snippet expert. It's an indictment against our age, and people will say to themselves, I'm an expert. Oh, really? You know what Paul says? You know what the Bible says about that? Bring forth the experts. Bring them. We have more experts today in America than we've ever had in American history, and our nation is more backwards than it ever has been. It's more messed up than it ever has been. Why? Because without Christ and without the cross, we bring in the experts. Somebody call an expert. All the experts of the world. It's like Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall and you can't put him back together. And if we're so smart with our expertise, then why are there more teen pregnancies than ever before? If we're so expert at what we do, then why is the school campus one of the most dangerous places to be in America? If we're such an expert, we've got more books on marriage than have ever been written in the history of mankind, and marriage is in danger today. You would think by the volume of our books, even in our Christian bookstores about marriage, that it would be the greatest strong entity of the home in America, marriage. There's only one book on marriage that works, and you've got it in your lap right now. I don't need another book on marriage. I need to do what my book, the Bible, tells me about marriage, and I need this book to tell me how to raise my kids. Did you know it's the Bible that says, fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. Don't make fun of them. Encourage them. Where'd you find that? It's in the Bible. Ephesians chapter 6, 5 and 6. You ought to read it sometimes. Am I being a little sarcastic? I'm trying to. I'm trying to be in the spirit of Paul. So we want to ask the question to our culture. When Paul says, where's the wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the disputer? He says, has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Is that not true? So I ask myself these questions. How is our scholarly achievements affecting our culture today? Good, bad, or indifferent? What about your or our religious system? Has it affected our culture for the good or for the bad? And how has our philosophies affected our culture? Good, bad, indifferent? Well, he's going to address this more. Before he does, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 says, but even if our gospel is veiled, if somebody can't see it, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Have you ever met somebody who cannot understand the gospel, let alone tolerate it coming out of your mouth? Have you seen people? You can talk about anything and everything, and then you mention the gospel and their jaw sets. Have you watched it? If it wasn't so tragic, it would be funny, but it's terribly tragic. The Bible says, if our gospel bounces off the ears of people, it's because it's been veiled. They're perishing because they can't see, they won't see. Who the minds, the God of this age has blinded, Satan has blinded them, these who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Philippians 3:17. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk, as you have us as an example or a pattern. For many walk, of whom I've told you often and even tell you now weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. This morning, my friend, are you an enemy of the cross? Or are you a friend of the cross? Only you can decide that. Nobody can decide it for you. But what happens when you see a cross? Why is the cross so hated in the world? Because of the cross? Now, granted, if you look at it as jewelry, you'll see something different, I guess. I don't know. But what does the cross stand for? What does the cross mean? This is what I've heard over my years of being a Christianity and doing some bit of travel. What does the cross mean? It means a man died there. I'm quoting a taxi driver from Washington, D.C. He had a cross hanging around his mirror. I said, what does that cross mean? He said, it means that a man died there. But why did a man die there? The pathology of the conversation might go this way. Because Jesus had to be crucified there. Why? Someone might ask as they look at the cross. Because we need salvation. Why? We need our sins forgiven. Why? Because there's a heaven and a hell, and Jesus came to set us free at the cross. That's the message of the cross. Did you know there's a movement right now? How many of you have been to Arlington Memorial Cemetery or maybe Arlington West out here by March Air Force Base? Did you know there's a movement to have crosses taken off of tombstones and the crosses taken down from Arlington in Virginia? Why? Because it was said the cross is offensive. So then you take them down from all the hospitals. Did you know if you're going to go, you have a heart attack and you have cancer, where are you going to go? You're going to go to St. Jude? You're going to go to St. Joseph's? You're going to go to Martin Luther King? Where are you going to go? Guess what? My doctor, who as far as I know is not even a Christian, you can't go into one of his examining rooms, but there's the network that he's in, there's a cross in every room. Well, you got to take that down. Think about it. Why? Because the cross is offensive, is it not? Depends on what side of the fence you're on. When I look at the cross, I say there's hope. The cross speaks about the value of life. You say, how does that? You just contradicted yourself, you crazy pastor. You said it's a thing of death. You said Jesus died there. Exactly. It's exactly what I'm saying. It's a symbol of life. Without that cross, there is no eternal life for me. Without that cross, there's no forgiveness of sins. The Bible tells us Jesus went to the cross. It was foreordained by his Father that he would go to the cross. But the cross is hated today. Why? Because you can't look at the cross without thinking somebody died there. And then inevitably, the kid in the back seat says, Mommy, what's the cross on the hill for? And then she gets all upset because now she's got to tell Junior either a lie or the truth. And if she lies, she says, well, there's a hospital there. Well, it doesn't look like it, Mommy. It's stuck on the side of the hill. Now she's got to cope with the vet. Well, you know, some people say Jesus died there. And God has put it in a kid to say, Mommy, who's Jesus? Do you see how it snowballs? You can't get away from him. You're not supposed to get away from him, you funny little cookie man. Or what is that? Who's the guy, the real cookie man thing? Who? The gingerbread man. Did you say Pac-Man? Dude, that's good. Not Pac-Man. The gingerbread man. Don't run. You can't avoid the cross. Jesus said it in John 12:32. He says, and if I'm lifted up, that's a first century term of crucifixion. If I'm lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself. This Jesus spoke, signifying by what manner of death he should die. I'm going to the cross, Jesus said. And if I go to the cross, the whole world will have to consider me. Is that not fulfilled today, church? Also look at verse 21. A united church will have the same message this way. Our message is preached. It's to be preached. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. That's worldly wisdom. They took their wisdom. They didn't apply it to the things of God. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Let's be honest. It is bizarre. Church, we are in the 21st century. And what am I doing and what are you and I called to do? Preach the gospel. Watch this. Young people, listen up. We think, yeah, but it's 21st century, man. This is a whole new age. Hey, guess what? Unless I get killed, I have some pretty awesome job security. Here's the reason why. And by the way, if I do get killed, I have the best retirement program ever. Check this out. According to the Bible, since the beginning of time until the end of days, preaching the truth of God will never go out of style. Did you know that? Well, what about YouTube? What do you do on YouTube? You preach. Radio will take care of that. What's on radio? That which has been preached, right? Well, you know what? What? The Bible says even in the last days, God's going to send an angel flying through the midst of the atmosphere. That, during the tribulation period, will freak people out. Can you imagine? Man, it's hot. I'm talking trib. I'm not talking today. I know it's been hot, Christians, but you know what? I tell you, what was that one day? It was like 104. I stuck my face out in the sun. Thank you, God. This is as hot as it gets for Christians. You think of that for a second. And all the things that are going on in this world, there's going to be a time in the tribulation period when the Bible says God will send an angel through the atmosphere. It's not space. Atmosphere, it's where you and I live. Can you imagine an angel? What's he look like? I don't know. But they all, angels look awesome when they're seen in the Bible. People freak when they see one. There's an angel that's going to be going through the sky during the tribulation period, preaching the everlasting gospel. And then the Bible says at that, the end of the world will come. Wow. So we are to preach. You say, well, Pastor, you know, how do I preach? You tell. It means to proclaim, announce. That's all it means. We're all preachers as Christians. We're to tell our friends. And so he says in verse 21 that it's the foolishness of the message preached. It's interesting. Preaching's not foolish. It's the message I'm preaching that's foolish to those who are perishing. But it's not to those who believe. Salvation happens and can only happen when the message is preached, and that message is the cross, and it brings salvation. Acts 2:36, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they had heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent. Change your mind about Jesus. All right. Our message is the cross. Listen up, everybody. Some of you need to hear this. You either need to hear it for yourself or you need to hear it for a friend of yours. The message preached is the cross. It's the gospel of Christ. And so having said that, you want to know why I'm not a Hindu today? You want to know why I cannot be a Muslim today? You want to know why I can't be Buddhist today? You want to know why I can't be involved in a cult? I say this to their chagrin and mine. They don't have a cross. I want you to think about that for a second. They don't have a message. They don't have atonement for sin. Will you listen? For our comfort, we want to just glaze over the spiritual condition of thousands of people who are lost. We want to say, well, they believe in the same God. They believe in Jesus. As long as we're sincere. You know, have you realized we're saying that for our own comfort and not theirs? Do you know we say that so we don't have to deal with the issue? And the issue really is getting them to know the truth too. Well, say, Pastor, I don't think we should run it down their throat. Hey, I'll be in the first in line to agree with you on that one. But we are to serve it up and let them throw it away or take it in. This is a united church, to present the truth so that others may decide. That's what we're supposed to do. The outcome is not for us. We get in such of a hurry in our lives about closing the deal. Did you close the deal? Did you close the deal? So you witnessed to your friend, did you? Did you pray the sinner's prayer with them? Listen, we're not deal closers. We are to present the truth. And if they say, get out of my life, then get out of their life. Pray for them. They can't do a thing about you praying for them. Because you go home alone and pray for them. But do your friends know the truth? I cannot be a Muslim. Islam has no cross. There's no atonement. Every Muslim must weigh out in the end their own works against the capricious will of Allah. And even then, until they walk the blade, they don't know if they'll ever enter their heaven, sadly, which doesn't exist for them. They've been deceived. And you and I know Muslim people. Have we told them the truth? They have no cross. Ask them, what do you do about your sins? What do you do about your sins today? What do you do about the power of sin in your life? What's your strength over sin? They have nothing. They're lost. And on their way to hell. And Buddhist and Hindu, what do they have? My friend, the cross is an offense because there's only one cross. And I like what C.S. Lewis says. He said, I have to tell you that what opened my eyes to Christianity is the queerness of it. He lived in a different age. He said, it's just queer enough. It's so mysterious, it's so unique that no man could have thought it up. And I want you to think about that for a moment. Why do all the cults of the world have this in common? We will work our way to utopia. We will be good enough. We will become what? The same doctrine of Adolf Hitler? The same doctrine of Stalin or Marx? The same doctrine of socialism or the same doctrine of Lucifer in the Garden of Eden? We will make it happen. We don't need God. We will become gods. Where there's no cross, you have to invest in human effort. It's the ultimate deception. But where there is a cross, where there's a cross, there's the absolute freedom. Jack, what do you do about your fear? I go to the cross. What do you do about your past? To the cross. What are you going to give people? What are you going to tell your children when they grow up? It's the cross. What do you do if your wife and your husband are having a hard time and you're not able to make amends? What do? You both get on your face and you go to the cross. It's the only hope. There's power at the cross. Try it. You say, I don't believe you, Pastor. I don't care if you believe me or not. I told you earlier, I get paid the same. Go to the cross. Amen. Ask if he's real. Lord, are you at this cross? The God of the cross, we are to preach it. And I've thought about this. There's no place for atonement in the cults. There's no greater for the lesser. There's no just for the unjust. There's no holy for the unholy. If you're unholy, if you're unjust, if you are somewhat less than perfect and you need atonement, where do you go? And see, this is the big issue. You can either be deluded by your self-performance or you can be humbled. And when you're humbled, you say, God, I'm aware of my self-performance and it stinks. And I need you, O Lord Jesus. I wrote something down. I'm just going to read it to you. America, since you've decided to remove prayer and Bible from school, from your public schools, how's your institutions of learning going for you? America, since you've decided to remove the Ten Commandments from your courtrooms, how's your justice system working for you? America, since you've decided to remove judgment and discernment and replace them with political correctness, how's your culture working for you? America, since you've decided to remove God, in God we trust, from our almighty dollar, at least they're working on removing it, how's that mighty dollar working for you? In America, since you've decided to remove the cross from public view, even off of private property, how's that working for you? Well, we got to take that cross down. Why? Driving down the freeway, it bothers me. You talk about America being tolerant, America has never been more intolerant.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called One Church Under God. It's a close look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 31. One Church Under God, part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse examination of this New Testament letter, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Listen, have you had a chance to visit realradioactive.org lately? Of course, you can hear past editions of Real Radio, but you can also subscribe to Words to the Wise. Now, Words to the Wise is Pastor Jack's devotional. I think you're going to like it. You can get it by email, and it's a great way to keep in touch with Real Radio, as well as learn and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. Just visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Now, I personally have a bunch of devotionals sitting around the house. Pastor Jack's is the one that I go to every day. Get yours. Call us if you'd like, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.